Amen. And you don't want to go to hell. It's louder than heaven, screaming for mercy and water. Amen. Amen. Well, I ain't never been to Baptist church like that. You just ain't never been to a Baptist church. They're few and far between nowadays. Amen. They're all non-denominational now. Hebrews 13:8. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you just as quick as I can. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now that song goes right along with my sermon. The same yesterday, today, and forever. There's not a day that He's ever going to change. Amen? Amen. I came to church this morning, wasn't feeling well, I didn't sleep well, and I was sleeping, foggy-headed, and I went in the nursery a while ago and prayed and asked the Lord to bless me today. And He already has. Amen? And He woke me up. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hebrews 13:8, talking about Jesus Christ, He never changes. He never changes. Now, nothing, would you agree with me? Nothing remains the same. Nothing. Everything changes, but Jesus Christ changes not. People change. Their appearance changes. Their opinions change. Their lifestyles change. Somebody you haven't seen 20 years, you see them again and you say, man, I didn't even know that was you. Yeah. Or, man, I never would have thought they'd acted that way. Or, I never would have thought they'd have said that. Amen? But people change. Thank God, some for the good. The day He saved you, you changed. And you've been on a progressive way ever since. If you sought the Lord, He's changed you for the good, not the bad. Amen? People change. People change. Places change. What were fields are now woods, and what were woods are now fields. Some towns grow into cities, some cities shrink to towns, and some towns are now just ghost towns, as we know up north. Now there's whole ghost towns up there. Places change. Nations change. Nations change. And the sad fact about the generation today, and of course not you that are in here, but the sad fact about most of the generation today, and even in the churches, they don't know anything about the history past their beginning. They won't go back any farther. And they're ashamed of their past and all these things. You've got to know your past so that you can understand what change is good and what change is bad. And nations change. Our nation has changed. When I was a little boy, we weren't Christians. Didn't grow up in a Christian home. We were in the minority. There were about 10% of the people in the 50s and the 60s that didn't go to church. And I'm born in 54, grew up through the 60s and the 70s, and people went to church. Matter of fact, I was ashamed of not going to church when I was a little boy. And people would ask me, where do you go to church? And I'd lie and make up a church that I went to because I was ashamed. You know, I was ashamed. And now it's the other way around. People are ashamed if they do go to church. And I think only about 10 or 20% of the nation really goes to church at all. And the ones that go to church, they've called off Sunday night, and they've called off Wednesday night, they don't have vacation Bible school, they don't have revivals, they don't have dinner on the grounds and things like that anymore. Churches change. Churches change. Listen, the Great Riverside Church in New York was once, in the early 1900s, was the greatest fundamentalist, Bible fundamentalist church in America. Now it's a rank liberal church. The Great Calvary Church there in Los Angeles, California, R.A. Torrey preached there in the 1800s. It was a great fundamentalist church, and now it's changed. It's unrecognizable. The pastor preaches, and he sits in a rocking chair and smokes a cigar while he cusses. And he cusses, uses profanity in the pulpit. The great churches have changed. The great Bible colleges changed. Tennessee Temple, which once was a bastion of fundamentalism, especially for Southern Baptists and Independent Baptists, it doesn't even exist anymore. Over the years, it changed. They finally shut it down and closed it and sold the property. I thought about Liberty University, which was started out under Jerry Falwell, a great Baptist Fundamentalist College when it first started. It was a preacher school. And then to get government money, they compromised and brought in evolution and all that kind of stuff. And now it's just as bad as a public college now. It's gone liberal. Everything changes. The Southern Baptist Convention started off in the 1800s with Bible-believing Baptist people. And over the years, it's compromised. It's continually changing. And it's gone into liberalism. The United Methodist Church, which once was a church of holiness, they preached holiness. John Wesley preached godliness and holiness. The great Bob Jones Sr. was a Methodist, and they wouldn't even allow him to preach in their pulpits. Now, he'd growl. He'd say, "That's the Bible. That's the Bible. What you going to do with it? That's the Bible." You know, he'd challenge you. And that's changed. The Presbyterian was once, they founded this area. The Presbyterians, the Scotch-Irish, were Presbyterian people. There's old Presbyterian churches all over the South. They founded this area. Most of our ancestors, I know mine, were Scotch-Irish people. And they were great Christians. They were great fundamental Bible. And now that's changed. And it's LGBT and all that stuff and liberal politics. Churches that did preach and teach the Bible have changed. They've changed. We go all over this town, all over this country. They've changed. Our mother church, the church that started this, and I'm not afraid to say this, our mother church has changed. When Pastor Coley died, they said they were ashamed of the name and they were ashamed of the fundamental Baptist movement, and they threw away all the old pictures in there and threw away all the old, they had tapes and CDs of me preaching. And they threw all that stuff away. They threw all the history of the church. They said they were ashamed of it. It's changed. So our mother church doesn't even exist anymore. The church that licensed me and ordained me, Blessed Hope Baptist Church in York, great fundamental separatist church. They were known for their separatism. They wouldn't have anything to do with worldliness or liberalism. And Brother Smith was a great Bible doctrine preacher. And now it's gone and it's changed. They had a Bible college. That's where I did most of my Bible training. And now it's gone. And the church is gone. And all of that's changed. You wouldn't even recognize the church if you went to it today. It's not the same kind of fundamentalism. And then one day, we don't know, but this church right here, when we're gone on to heaven, if Jesus tarries, he doesn't come back, 100 years from now, you might have some weirdo preaching in here and teaching the Bible or denying the Bible. Amen? And the women might look like men. The men might look like women. And they might be singing rock and roll instead of the old hymns of the faith. Amen? Amen. You never know. Things change. There's nothing remains the same. I woke up a couple days ago old. I'd never been old before, and I woke up. My wrist hurt and my thumb hurts. And if I put pressure on them, I can't sleep at night because if I roll over and press, it hurts and it wakes me up. We're getting old, brother. We change. Amen. You used to have hair. And everybody changes. Amen. Those that were... I better not go there. But thank God there's one thing we can count on.
Amen.
Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ will never change. Hey, your denomination might fail, your movement might fail, your college might fail, your church might fail, your preacher might fail, your Sunday school teacher might fail, your mom and daddy might change, but Jesus Christ will never change. The same Savior you fell in love with that day. I did, March the 5th, 1978. I fell in love with him. And he kissed me that day, spiritually kissed me. And he adopted me into his family. And he hadn't changed one bit, not one time since then. Now, I've changed, good and bad, good things and bad. I've changed, but he's never changed. He'll never let you down. Not one time. Not one time will he disappoint you. People will change. They'll disappoint you. So I thought about some ways that he does not change, and you won't have to turn there for a while. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says he is the wisdom of God. Did you know he's changeless in his wisdom? There's nothing that he needs to learn. There's nothing else he needs to know. There's no class he needs to attend. There's no book he needs to read. There's no preacher that he needs to listen to. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. 1 Corinthians 1:24 said He is the wisdom of God Himself. If you look at the wisdom of God, you look at Jesus Christ. He's the wisdom of God. It's not like He's got to learn something else. He knew it all. Matter of fact, read Colossians. He's the one that created the world anyway. It said, by Him were all things created. And then I thought about this. He's changeless in His holiness. Now that's a foreign word for most churches nowadays. Holiness, God-likeness, without sin, pure, perfect, undefiled. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says He knew no sin. Hebrews 4:15 says that He lived without sin. 2 Timothy 2:3 says He abides faithful. That means He keeps on being holy. He'll never change. He'll always be holy. There'll never be a time, never was, never is, and never will be a time when Jesus Christ is not holy and perfect and sinless. He's the sinless Savior. He's the perfect one. He's the holy one. You look at Him, you see holiness without sin, without taint, without darkness, without shadow of turning. And He'll always be that way. He'll never change. Thank God He's holy. I'm not always holy. I want to be. Don't you want to be, if you're a Christian, you want to be holy. I want to be like God, don't you? But you know, I'm living this old flesh and I have to fight that thing. There's still a battle going on, not for salvation, but for holiness every day. Most Christians don't even know that. Most Christians have never been taught about the holiness of God, that we're to strive. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He's holy. He's not some old stinking statue that the monkeys sit on top of his head in India while people throw food to the monkey. Amen? I know some preachers that are like monkeys, but Jesus Christ is not like the monkey. Amen? He's not some stinking old fat Buddha sitting with his legs crossed and can't talk to you. And He wasn't holy. Jesus Christ is holy. Changeless in His holiness. And then I want to park it here. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 2, Ephesians chapter 5, if you will, verse 2. And every once in a while, y'all need to do like those old-fashioned Baptists did. Park it right there, preacher. Park it right there, preacher. Look at Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Did you know He's changeless in His love? He died to prove it. He did. Now, there's a lot of people that will say they'll die for Jesus, but they don't live for Him. He lived for us, and He also died for us. That proves His love. No greater love hath any man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. That never changes. Do you know, Brother Billy, he doesn't love you any more now than he did when you was that old long-haired, shaggy-looking dog before he saved you. He don't love you no more. He loves you the same amount because he loved you with the greatest love when you were lost. And now that you're saved, he still loves you with the greatest love. And that will never change. He'll always love you. You say, preacher, you don't know what I did. I failed the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. He knew what you were before He ever saved you. Hey, if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, He knew yesterday about you, what you would do today, and what you would do forever. You did not shock Him. He didn't wake up one day and say, uh-oh, I don't love Him anymore. I didn't know He'd do that. No, sir, He knew what you'd do when He saved you. Amen? Help me here. Come on, we ain't Baptists here today. Amen. He loves you. Not only that, Romans chapter 8. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Some people claim that we preach eternal security. Well, let me ask you something. How long does it take for God to stop loving you? If He loved you before the foundation of the world was ever laid, why would you think He'd ever stop loving you? That doesn't mean He's always pleased with us, but He always loves us. Amen? Amen. Now, Romans chapter 8, look at verse 35, if you will. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that what? For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's changed his love. Nothing can change that. You say, preacher, you don't know what happened to me. Doesn't matter. He loves you just like he loved you the first time you ever come to him. Hey, he loved you. That's not going to change. And you say, well, he's talking about all these terrible things, tribulation, all that. Yeah, but he's also said this, neither death nor what? Life. There's nothing in this life that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. You say, but I've not been a good Christian in this life. He loves you when you're good and he loves you when you're bad. Amen? He just loves you, period. Your performance does not determine the level of his love. Some people are trying to earn the love of God. You can't do it. For God so loved, there's no more love than that he gave his only begotten son. So there's nothing else you can do to make him love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. Hebrews chapter 13 says, your heavenly father, your earthly father loved you and he's chastening you. Don't you think your heavenly father loves you more than your earthly father? That takes a sorry daddy to cast off one of his children. I'm going to just be honest with you. It takes a sorry parent to cast their children off. You say, yeah, but you don't know what they did. Doesn't matter. You still ought to love them. They still have your blood running through their veins. They're still. Now, I'm not saying we got to be happy and put up with everything. Every once in a while, there needs to be a whipping. By the way, if we do more whipping, we'd have less criminals. Amen. Say amen, policeman. More whipping at home would keep them getting whooped in jail. Amen. I'd rather whoop them now than have some old guy do it for me when they go to jail. Amen. Come on, help me. Help me. Nothing in this life can separate us. You say, but pastor, since I've been saved, I let him down. Amen. Haven't we all? All have sinned and come short. Now, I'm not giving permission to sin, but I'm saying this. There's not one successful Christian who made it to heaven who said, I deserve the love of Christ. Since I got saved, I've not sinned not one time. They'd be lying. We can get to go to heaven. Stay out of my preaching. Amen. So he's changeless in his love. Now, I'm not changeless in my love. I show favor to some and don't to others. You do too. Don't sit there and act like you don't. And sometimes I love one above the other. Amen. Come on, help me. Amen. And everybody knows Becky's my favorite. And I know it's on. But when Suzanne was here last week, she was my favorite. And then Charity shows up, she's my favorite. All of them are. But we're not changeless. People can do things to us that will make us quit loving them. But you can't do anything that'll stop Jesus Christ from loving you. Turn to John chapter 11, verse 25. John chapter 11, verse 25. I said he's changeless in his holiness, he's changeless in his wisdom, he's changeless in his love. But I want to show you this one. This is my favorite one. John 11, verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Did you know he's changeless in his promises? Did you know God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has never, not one time, ever broken one of his promises? He's never amended one. He's never edited one. He's never made one shorter or made it longer. When He makes a promise, that's it.
Amen.
Now, did you know that He's changed this in His promise of eternal life to those that believe in Him? Now, I want you to read that verse again. Now, He didn't say, if they do good. He didn't say, if they make a lot of money. He didn't say, if they get an education. He didn't say, if they do this or if they do that. He just said, I'm going to give them eternal life. That's it. It's settled. The day I got saved, the day you received Christ, you received eternal life.
Amen.
I don't mean you're going to receive it. You've already received it. You have eternal life. You're going to live long as God lives. I'm sure some people don't like that, but I like that. I like that. Amen. He'll fix them. The day you believe is the day that you'll never die from there on. Now, we went down to Landsfolk Canal. Becky was good enough to get us down there. And there's that old cemetery on the way. Most of you have never been down there, but if you ever get a chance to go, it's on the left. It's out in the woods, got a rock wall. Probably a Presbyterian church was there at one time. It's gone. But we went around and tried to read those headstones, and they're so old, you know, 1800s and 1700s and stuff like this. And they're hard to read. They're just about worn completely away. But let me tell you something. Though I could not read the name on a lot of them, and though you could not read the name on a lot of them, God knows their name. God knows their name. Though I doubt anyone that is related to them even knows it. Don't act like you don't believe that. Usually by the next generation of after your death, after that generation, nobody will even know where you're buried. People don't keep up with that anymore like they used to. And now with cremation, it's even worse. Because you have no headstone. You have no grave for people to go and remember you. Somebody threw you in the river. The only people remember you is the catfish. Preacher shouldn't have said that. Okay. But did you know that the day you were saved, He made you a promise that you're going to heaven. And He made you a promise. He said it. Of eternal life. Eternal means forever. It never runs out. A man told me one day, he said, I used to be saved, but I'm not anymore. I said, wait a minute. Didn't He say He'd give you eternal life? He said, yeah, but I messed it up. I said, how do you mess up eternal? He didn't say, I'm going to rent you some time, or I'm going to lease you a little bit of time, or I'm going to give you a little time. I'm going to give you a little short contract. He said, I give them eternal life. How are you going to change that? Well, I just walked away. You can't walk away from a promise of God. Amen. Amen. You might get to heaven a whole lot earlier than you thought you was going. You try. Amen. And then I want you to notice this in Luke 24:49. You still with me? Luke 24:49. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. There's another promise. The promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Did you know He made you the promise that He's going to take care of you and He's going to watch over you and He's going to put the Holy Spirit on you and you'll never have to worry anymore because He's going to put the promise of the Holy Spirit on you. And you know what that does? That promises to comfort us. Now, most of y'all, Billy and Ron, y'all go to nursing homes. People go with you. But most people don't go to nursing homes hardly ever. Hardly ever. Of course, I go. I see my mom at least once a week. But those people in there, if they're saved, He made them a promise that He'd comfort them.
Right.
Now, we feel sorry for people, but let me tell you the truth. If God, the Holy Ghost, lives in you, it didn't matter whether other people comfort you or not. He's going to comfort you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. They can all forsake you, and God the Holy Ghost will be right there with you, and He'll give you that comfort in spirit that He has. Now, that means a lot to me. I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I looked more at the end of the power of the Holy Spirit. And He is powerful. We've seen that at the hospital a lot here lately. But now I look at the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Sister Bonnie, He's there at the hospital with you. Sister Hazel's not here, but she's watching that. He's here at the hospital. He's there at the hospital with her. And whenever we go home and all the friends have gone and all the flowers have faded, God, the Holy Ghost, will still be there. He's promised you that He would send you the Comforter. And that's His job. And people say, I'm a pretty good comforter, and I don't know about all that. And preachers have even gotten me to preach funerals for their church members. I can't believe that. And because they say you do it so much better than I do. Well, you want to know why? Because I've received a lot of comfort since He saved me. I've received a whole lot of comfort since He saved me. Now, that's a promise. When your friends leave you, if your wife, your husband, your children desert you, the Holy Ghost of God will be there to comfort you. Your children, listen to me. Mom and Dad leaves you, He will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Now that's a promise. That's a promise. And then I want you to notice in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, if you will. John chapter 14. Y'all still with me? John chapter 14, I want you to look at this. Now it says, He's changeless in His wisdom, His holiness, His love, and His promises. And this is the last promise I'm going to show you. The promise of eternal life, the promise of comfort. But I want you to notice this one. Notice this one, John chapter 14. Most of you already know it. We read it at a lot of funeral sermons. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry about it. Don't let it stop you. Don't let it destroy you, okay? Don't you let your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's the Lord Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, true. I'm the one telling it. I've never broken a promise. I am the truth. And I'm telling you, there's many mansions in my Father's house. If you got an NIV and it says rooms, why don't you throw that thing away and get you a Bible? You got a mansion coming to you. What you want with a room? Amen? Amen. Only unbeliever would translate such a thing as that. Amen. Amen. He said, And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, that's the promise of His return. Now, the Jehovah Witness, they say this. Every time somebody dies, that Jesus comes back and takes them off to the grave. Yeah. Others say that Jesus has already come. Some say that He's not coming. But I say, according to the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's never lied yet, and He's never failed yet, and He's never misled us before, and He doesn't make it that complicated. It's very simple. He said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm coming back to get you. Amen. 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 Hey, why would we not be happy about something like that? Now, that's a promise. He's coming back. Now, the world is going to change. People are going to change. Institutions are going to change. Churches, denominations, colleges, Bible institutes, they're all going to change. But Jesus is not going to change. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you which direction it's all changing. He said, know this also. That in last days, perilous times shall come. And He goes through a list of changes that's going to happen in those perilous times, and we see them every day. And in another place He said, but it can't come except, I can't come except there come a falling away first, talking about of the so-called church. And boy, are we not living in that time? When I was a little boy growing up, I was not a Christian, but I knew people said they were, and I knew some good people growing up, and I believe they probably were Christian. They weren't good witnessers, but they were probably good. They lived a good life, went to church, were probably good Christians. I knew some that were not. Growing up, we grew up in an America where you didn't hardly hear anybody use profanity in public. If you did, they probably had a beer in hand, cigarette in the other hand. You certainly never heard a woman use profanity unless she was that kind of woman. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We grew up in a time where children were more seen than heard. Amen. I just sound old-fashioned. It sounds biblical to me. We lived in a time, we grew up in a time, a lot of us, and I'm sorry for y'all that didn't, but we grew up in a time to where it was unusual not to hear a prayer at a public gathering.
Amen.
And there was always manger scenes. There was always somebody around that would mention the name of Jesus. There were no stones thrown or bottles hurled. But now we've progressed into that latter days. And times are changing. And they're getting worse and worse. Now, our nation's changing. And I'm gonna prophesy a little bit here. Can I do that? Prophesy means tell the future. In the New Testament, it really means tell forth what the truth. But I'm going to give you a little future, okay? When the presidential election comes up, we're going to see things we've never seen in this country. There's going to be people hurt. There's going to be things done that we thought we never would see done in this country. And the old devil's setting it up right now. I don't know if this might not be the last election we ever see. Hot dog! That's Baptist for amen. If he gets real excited, he'll say hamburger. But seriously. Now I'm glad I've got a God, a Savior that's changed us in His wisdom. It wasn't that He didn't see this coming. He saw it coming. And He told us about it. The problem is most people don't want to hear it. And that's the change. That's the worst change we've gone through. Now, when I was growing up, we were not Christians. I had a lot of friends that were not Christians. But let me tell you something. We didn't even use God's name in vain. We were scared. And a lot of you let your kids watch things on TV you'll be whipped for. The way they talk. We never saw public nudity. Come on. We never heard churches maligned or ridiculed and made fun of. Just in the past generation. Now, I might not ought to say this in public, but I'm going to say I've never owned a gun. A pistol, rifle, nothing. Never have. I didn't have a father, so we didn't grow up with guns. I had a brother that went hunting, but he never took me. I had a friend took me hunting one time, and we shot a raccoon, and when I saw him laying on the ground, I said, we can't eat that. Why did we kill him? I never went hunting again. Now, I'll kill a fish in a minute. Or frog. But it's come to the time in our nation and in this world, all over the world, violence is common, guns are common, people shooting each other over just a slight little thing, just shooting each other over almost nothing. Now God's always took care of me. You can ask Billy Boatwright and others that's went with me visiting. There's never been a place in this town that I would not visit. And I've been in some places. Some of y'all got scared because you went with me. Big old men. I'm talking about big old men, brother. Scared. I said, you ain't got nothing to be scared of. I got the big G. I don't have that little one. I got the big one. Amen. But it's getting in this country to where Christianity is. It's dangerous to be a Christian. It's dangerous. And I think we need to pray for our country. But let me tell you something. One great promise we always have, besides that great salvation and that great comfort, we've got a great second coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He said, when you think not. And they've made movies to make fun of His second coming. They've made movies to make fun of the rapture. They've made songs about the rapture. They've even got a group, a rap group. The name of it is Rapture. But I got news for you. He's coming.
Yes.
And listen, the first time He's come, they're not going to see Him. Because it's going to be for us. He's going to take us out of here. He said, the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ shall be raised. That's those who are saved. They'll be raised and they'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. They're going to be changed. They'll get that glorified body to go with that spirit that's already up there, and they'll be reunited eternally forever. And then the next bunch is going, we're going right behind them. Right behind them. And we're going to be changed. And we're going to become like Jesus Christ. We're not just going to be eternal spiritually, we're going to be eternal physically also. And if after about probably 3 years of going through the judgment seat of Christ, not to get in heaven, but to be judged by what we did while we were Christians for reward or loss of reward, not for heaven. And then we go to that great supper. And the bride is finally going to be hooked up to the groom. And we're going to have a bridal supper, amen? And we're going to sing and cry and shout for several years. And then all of a sudden, Jesus is going to say, where's my horse? Because the second time He comes, at the end of that 7 years, the second time He comes, Revelation says He's coming riding a white horse. The good guys always did, didn't they? He's riding a white horse. And He's wearing a sash. And hey, His vesture has been dipped in blood, His own blood, to show He paid for that position. And it's going to say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's coming in all His glory and all His splendor. And the Bible said men will run and hide and they can't get away from Him. And they'll ask the rocks to fall on them. It's going to be so powerful. But they can't get away from Him. And He's going to judge the world. And He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years in all His glory. And we're going to rule and reign with Him. Kings and priests. Now, they called me white trash when I was little, but they ain't calling me that then. I'll be wearing white, but I ain't going to be trash. Amen. Amen. He's coming back. And that's His promise. He's changeless in His promises of eternal life. And by the way, this will give you comfort too. Comfort and that promise of coming back again.
Amen.
Are you ready? I wonder where you'll be at tonight when church starts. What if He came tonight while we was having church? Where's He going to find you? Where will He find you Wednesday? Amen?
Amen.
I might not be the best Christian in this room, but I got enough sense. I want to be in church when He shows up. Amen. If it's on a Sunday or Wednesday, I want to be in church. I want to be caught doing something good. Amen. This would be a good launching pad. Woo! Right through that ceiling. And don't pay those pictures no attention. You ain't going to break that ceiling. You're going to have a glorified body just like His. He walked through walls. When He raised that body out of that grave ain't opening up. You're going to have a glorified body. He's going to bring that thing up as an eternal body, just like His is. Now that's His promises. You know, He's never changed one of His promises. You know, theologians have. Preachers have. Pastors have. Seminaries have. Denominations have. But He's never changed that promise.
Amen.
This ain't like a worldly contract. You can't go back and add things to it or take anything away. Because this is the Word of God and it'll stand forever. And this is what we're going to be judged by. And this is what the world's going to be judged by. This book right here. And I like those three promises. He saved me. He keeps me. He comforts me. And one day He's going to deliver me. Amen. Y'all don't get excited. I plan on preaching all your funerals. I'm going to be here when He gets here. I ain't going until He gets here. Amen. Amen. Are you ready? Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure if you died right now you'd go to heaven? Is there a time in your life where you saw yourself as a sinner deserving a devil's hell and you turned to Christ and you asked Him to forgive you and save you and take you to heaven when you die? That's called salvation, and it'll change your life. Well, if I don't feel like it, doesn't change the promise. Well, if I don't act like it, doesn't change the promise. Are you ready? Let's stand. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the